Water conducts heat about 26 times faster than air. So sweat is excluded to the surface of the skin, and once the sweat is exposed to air, it can evaporate. This evaporation is what actually provides the cooling effect for the body.
With summer weather upon us, hydration is more important than ever. Fort Hays State University's Jessica Phelan stops by to talk about that and more on this episode of the Post Podcast.
Well, to start off, I just like to talk about the importance of proper hydration. Water is arguably the most essential nutrient in your body. And so about 55 to 60% of body weight is actually water. And so if you think about the importance of this nutrient, oh my gosh, it should be at the very top of your list, especially as we're heating up and we're sweating and we're getting outside and moving around. So although, you know, you guys, I'm sure you know many of the functions of water, I just like to highlight and explain a couple. So first, water is a delivery system, which I think is really interesting. So water serves as the body's delivery and waste removal medium. And so that means that blood plasma helps to distribute nutrients, hormones, immune cells, oxygen to all of our cells. Additionally, blood carries all of the waste away from the cells, like carbon dioxide, lactic acid, ammonia. And so this is really important because it helps to essentially flush out our system of some of those things that are created as like byproducts of metabolism and cellular energy production. Additionally, it provides cooling for the body, especially important during these hot months, especially if you're out exercising and you're being physically active. Body water helps to maintain stable body temperature due to its conductive properties. It helps to move warm temperatures from your core to your periphery. Water conducts heat about 26 times faster than air. So sweat is excluded to the surface of the skin, and once the sweat is exposed to air, it can evaporate. This evaporation is what actually provides the cooling effect for the body. And so those are two main functions of water as to why it's so important. Additionally, water is that main portion of blood volume. And so that helps to keep your blood volume proper and properly functioning. So there are important few, or these are just important functions of water, but the goal is to obtain water balance. And so water balance is when your intake is equal to your excretion. When we have more water intake than what we're excreting, we're actually in a state of hyperhydration. So overhydrated just a little bit, but that's actually kind of positive, especially if you're thinking about going to exercise, going outside, doing some gardening, playing with your kids. And so really we want to be in a state of just a minimal hyperhydration. When we have too little water, so we're excreting more through sweat, defecation, urine, than what we're taking in, that's dehydration. And you guys have probably maybe felt the effects of dehydration. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So those effects can range, right? And so we maybe get a little bit thirsty, loss of appetite. When we start to get more dehydrated, then we can get nausea, vomiting, slowing of physical work, all the way up to some really severe cases of dehydration. They can really impair like your functioning, muscle coordination. And so making sure that we are properly hydrated is really, really important. I would like to talk about a couple recommendations for hydration. So we've talked about the importance, but now how much do we need? Well, I actually think this is a little bit hard because the recommendations are kind of this range depending upon your body size, your age, physical activity levels. If you're a salty sweater, if you sweat a lot versus a little. And so I would suggest that one of the easiest ways to make sure that you're staying properly hydrated is to monitor urine color. And so it should be almost clear or like a light color. That's really a good signal that you're properly hydrated. If your urine starts to get a little bit dark, then you know that, hey, it's time to maybe grab a bottle of water, throw a Gatorade in the backpack before you go do something. But that's a really easy way to monitor hydration status. Additionally, you can also, if you're going to be outside for, you know, a long period of time, if you weigh yourself before and after, you know, of course, if you've not eaten anything, you can monitor your weight and then you can replace water accordingly. What do you guys think? Are you hydrated this summer?
I'm always hydrated. I was telling you just a little bit, we had to get on air, but one of the things that I found personally in my life was I started significantly tracking mm-hmm. water. getting to a gallon a day, and that's just kind of my baseline. I know that I'm a pretty big guy, so that's probably higher than what most people would need, but I can feel the difference. And now that I've done that for a few years, I recognize when I'm dehydrated. I don't need to track it so much anymore because I feel I can, and it's just an overall kind of malaise that my signal of go get a cup of water.
Yeah.
That's a big word for a morning show, by the way, malaise.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I've been saving. I've been holding it in my pocket for weeks just waiting for the opportunity.
Throwing around those dollar words. Yeah. I mean, I should be better about it. I mean, most of my water intake comes from coffee.
Mine
and,
too.
Yeah. And I know that caffeine probably has some detriment on that as well. I think you were mentioning that we were going to talk about that today too.
Yeah. So one thing that I did not realize before my studies, you actually have a lot of water in your diet. And so the foods that you're eating, they contribute about 20% of the water that you intake per day. And so if you think about like a watermelon or fruits and vegetables, there's a significant water content that you actually consume. And so again, that's about 20% of your total fluid intake for the day. I didn't know that. It makes complete sense. Mm-hmm. But you know how we always tell you to have more fruits and vegetables? Well, part of that's because of all the nutrition and all of the fiber and micronutrients, but it's also for that water content. Additionally, water beverage is going to be a great thing to have on hand. But an electrolyte beverage like a Powerade or a Gatorade is great too. Milk, juice, those are wonderful to have, you know, within, moderation, just to make sure that you're not overdoing any of those. But coffee is also okay if you keep it under a certain limit. What do you think? Do you do that?
I'm this close to like being like a geriatric with an IV drip of coffee. So
I might suggest maybe throw in a Gatorade or something like that with your morning coffees and afternoon coffees.
Do they make coffee flavored Gatorades? That's the question.
I don't know. One of our viewers. Hey, that's a question.
That's a good idea if they're not. Pitch it to them.
Yeah.
Gets you some coin.
Yeah.
You know, I'm curious. You didn't talk about soda.
Mm.
And I know, you know, obviously there's a lot of ill effects with the sugar and salt and all that in soda. Mm-hmm. But how does that affect hydration?
You know, truthfully, I'm not exactly sure. With soda, it's usually categorized in like this other category where we try to stay away from those sugar sweetened beverages just because, gosh, it's really hard on your teeth. Can prevent, you know, it can make cavities. It's really hard on some of like the acid in your stomach. There's just more, I would say, if you're weighing the pros and cons of it, there's more cons than pros. But here's the thing, in a well-balanced diet, a soda here and there is still great. You know, if that's something that you're craving, you want that carbonation, I would say go for it. Try to stick with sodas that are really lightly colored though, because it will help with like staining of your teeth. It's just a little bit easier on your body too. And so in your total hydration, if you were thinking about this like on a chart, I would say that generally speaking, we should probably try to minimize that. But one here and there, you know, that's okay. As long as you're getting, you know, all of that electrolyte beverages, waters, juice, teas, all those things. So,
yeah, I think about people and I have family members that are this way. They don't drink water. They just drink soda.
Yeah.
And I just like, I mean, everybody do what you want. I'm not not judging, but I just think about how like gross that would make me feel if I were to do that.
Oh, it definitely does. Yeah, because there was a period where I was just drinking just soda for a while.
Oh, he's got testimony here.
I felt it. Like when I cut soda out of my diet down to just like I would have it with a meal instead of just grabbing one out of the fridge, you know, in the middle of the day while I was, you know, just working on something. And yeah, there was a noticeable difference when I started replacing soda with, you know, the more healthier stuff, you know, the Gatorade, the coffee, the water, things like that. So
yeah, absolutely. I've noticed too, that it kind of gives me a headache every now and then. Mm-hmm. I wasn't able to pinpoint that until I reduced, you know, my soda intake and started to drink just more water. And the artificial sweeteners, sometimes they bother me a little bit, give me a headache. So yeah, I would definitely say in moderation, everything's great, but try to save that for like a treat or something.
I'm still not a fan of sparkling water though.
Oh.
Can't quite get there yet. So
yes.
I found the lemon lime bubbly. Mm. And I think it's the bubbly brand. It's like the off brand, the generic version. You get it at the Kroger stores here. Mm-hmm. I love it.
It's just, I mean, this is not an ad. They have not paid me to say this, but it's, yeah, it's, it gets you that carbonation feel, that texture of it, but it's also, you know, zero calorie. It doesn't have any of those ill effects that a soda has. And it will kind of, for me, tamper that craving of, you know, I want to grab a Sprite or a Pepsi or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And if I remember right, Bubbly's, they don't have any sugar, right? And so it's just the carbonated water with like a flavoring, like a blueberry flavoring or something like that.
Yeah. More like a blueberry on like low battery or something. Like I would, me personally, I would rather have just a flat water out of a tap than a sparkling water though. Cause you know, if I'm going to have something that's like a muted flavor, I might as well just have no flavor at all kind of thing. So that's a personal preference.
To each his own.
Yeah.
You know, I'm curious though about, the interaction of salt. So I think you mentioned Gatorades a couple of times, and I know they do have salt in them, and they're pretty high compared to what I think you might find in a Pepsi or a Coke. Mm-hmm. How does that, when it comes back to the hydration piece, how does that factor in?
Well, that's a wonderful question. Sodium is actually considered to be an electrolyte. And for those of you that don't know what an electrolyte is.
It's what plants crave.
Idiocracy quote.
We have electrolytes, and these are micronutrients, and there's quite a few of them, but sodium is one. And they do help with fluid balance. They help with conduction of electrical impulses through your body. And so if you think about it, your body is just a series of electrical lines, and that's what how we function. And so sodium is really important because it helps to support that. And so there's this really happy balance between too much salt or sodium and enough sodium. And so think about when you're exercising. I don't know if you guys have ever done like a really great bout of exercise, but you like on your skin, it's salty. You're losing some of those electrolytes. And so the thought process behind a Gatorade is that it has some of those electrolytes to help replenish that. And so if we have to have our electrolytes in balance for those electrical impulses to function correctly, for us to have proper fluid balance. And so Gatorades are wonderful, and they're used for that utility. Additionally, if you guys have ever had a salty meal, it makes you want to drink more. And so it helps with, say you're out in a day and you're just really, you know, you're not thirsty, you're not hungry. If you have some of that sodium, it will help you to drink more. And so it increases your need for water or, you know, hydrating beverages. And it also helps with making sure that you're having those, again, those proper electrical impulses that are being conducted through your body. And so sodium in Gatorade actually does serve a purpose. But again, it's all in balance, right?
I wonder if you want to talk a little bit about, before we go, and we're quickly running out of time here, but the dangers in the heat of not being properly hydrated, how can that affect your body? And I'm assuming in probably really bad ways.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a topic that we touch on so heavily because it's very important. When you're properly hydrated, your body is functioning at its peak performance. As we start to lose water, and we lose some of those, you know, that sweat, that sodium through our sweat, we need to replenish. When we don't, we have this, you know, plethora of different things that can potentially happen. So heat cramps, have you guys ever had those? Okay, so heat cramps is a heat-related disorder. Heat exhaustion is this moderate level of the heat-related disorders. And then we also have heat stroke, which that's the highest and most severe heat-related disorders. So heat cramps, this is just muscle cramping. Heat exhaustion is profuse sweating, cold, clammy skin, fatigue, you get a rapid pulse. We should cease activity when this happens. Go inside, try to cool down. And then if you're still feeling poor, you know, you're not feeling right, then that's definitely something where you need to, you know, go to your healthcare provider. Once we go, though, hit that highest level of severity, that's a heat stroke. This is where we stop sweating, which is really scary. It's dry, hot skin, muscle incoordination, muscle or mental confusion, and then disorientation. if you ever see anybody in this state, or if you're feeling poor, absolutely call 911 because this is indicative of a heat stroke. And so this is, again, the very most severe case. And so I don't want to scare anybody with that. Most of the time, we have great body cues where when we get thirsty, we get tired, you guys go inside. You know, we have these cues and we usually listen to them. It's when we start to push past these natural cues that we have that we just have to be a little bit more cognizant. Additionally, if you're really thinking maybe your kids are in a tennis tournament, that would be something where as a parent, just make sure that you're planning for every about 15 minutes, they're grabbing something to drink. They're throwing a Gatorade in their bag. In between sets or matches, have them sit in the shade, just regroup, relax, you know, change socks out, cool down. And so those are some tips and tricks to prevent that. But again, most of the time you have body cues that we listen to. And so when you're tired, you're fatigued, take those into consideration that your body is trying to tell you something, and then you should just be fine.